Welcome to the Face Podcast. This week's episode, How 7AIS Built the Ultimate Satirical Luxury Wine List, here are your hosts, Evelyn Facey and Darius Ansicht.
Welcome back. Today, we are exploring a really interesting project centered on creating this digital symbol of face. They call it the Face of Robin.
Right. And the goal is for it to be, you know, universally recognizable, but, and this is key, to mean absolutely nothing.
Exactly. It's a huge project, touches on AI stock photos, art history, all sorts of things.
It really does. It's digging into like modern icons and just the sheer amount of content out there. But for all that scope, we're zooming in today.
We are. We're focusing on maybe its sharpest, most polished part, the completely fake wine list they made.
That's the one. It's this brilliant paradox.
Yeah. So our mission for this deep dive is just that list. The creator even said it's both cutting satire and perhaps the most refined creation yet. How does that work?
How can something be so meticulously made, but also just a massive joke? It's that high-low thing, isn't it? Using super refined techniques to mock super refined, maybe pretentious culture.
And the origin story is great, too. Not some fancy studio idea.
No, not at all. It apparently came about in the quiet epiphany of a grocery store checkout line. Just seeing a wine bottle.
That effortless cool that wine bottles sometimes have. Or that they're marketed to have, I suppose.
Exactly. That marketed cool.
Oh, I love that story. But let's, you know, push back a bit. The result was anything but effortless, right? They ended up using, what, 7 different AI systems?
Yeah, a whole suite of them. High-end ones, too.
So if the aim is to mock market pretension, isn't using this complex, resource-heavy AI setup kind of, well, its own form of technical pretension? Not everyone can do that.
It's a really fair point. And I think the project almost anticipates that critique. The argument, I guess, is that the complexity was needed for authenticity.
Authenticity of the joke.
Yes. For the satire to land, it couldn't look sloppy. It had to perfectly mimic the real thing, the expensive, glossy wine list you'd actually see, visual and linguistic mimicry.
Okay, so a massive tech effort just for a fake menu. They call the AIs a chorus of collaborators, which sounds impressive. How did that work? Who did what? Grok, Gemini, Sora, Meta, Copilot, Firefly, Claude, Lumi. That's a lot.
It really is. It was like a specialized digital assembly line. You can kind of break it down. Structure, visuals, and voice.
Right.
So Grok and Gemini, the big language models, they handled the basic structure.
Yeah.
Making sure it looked and felt like a real wine list. Categories, format, that kind of logic.
Got it. The skeleton, basically. So it wasn't just a random jumble of text.
Exactly. Then you had the visual specialists. Sora and Firefly, they were all about generating the bottle images.
Okay.
But not just any images. They needed those specific, slightly artifact-heavy textures.
Okay.
You know, the way light hits glass, the look of the paper labels. Little imperfections that make it seem real, not generic AI smooth.
And Photoshop came in after that.
Yeah, Photoshop was crucial for the refinement. Cleaning up the AI visuals, making them look sharp, print ready. That final polish sells the authenticity.
Makes sense. That's often where the realism lies. What about the actual text, the descriptions?
That was Claude. Claude acted as the sharp tongue sommelier. It wrote those clever and cutting tasting notes. That specific tone, that luxury critique voice that came from Claude.
Ah, okay. Claude's known for handling context and persona. Well, right. So it could sound knowledgeable, but cynical.
Precisely. Not just random snark. It had to sound like someone inside that world, but seeing through it.
And the last one, Lumi.
Lumi did the final flourishes. The little details on the bottle seal, like the wax or foil, tiny things. But they called it an essential flourish. It completes the high-end illusion.
Wow. That division of labor is intense. It really shows AI isn't just like type a prompt, get a thing anymore.
Not for this level of result, no.
So if it takes this multi-AI choreography to fake a satirical wine list, what does that imply about other polished stuff we see online? That marketing email, that report, the tech behind seeming authentic is getting invisible.
Completely hidden. And that careful construction is what gives this list its punch. You read the introduction on the list itself.
Oh, yeah. What does it say?
It's written in perfect, almost over-the-top wine speak. Calls the seller program a living love letter to craftsmanship. Says it's not a list, it's an invitation.
Oh, wow. So it sets you up perfectly.
Totally. It creates this expectation of seriousness, this elevated tone, which makes the satirical notes land so much harder. High bar, then bam.
Okay, let's get into that satire. The tasting notes that talk about truth or regret instead of, you know, tannins and berries.
Yeah, the red section really goes after value and pretension. Take Le Visage Pinot Noir, cost $57. The note: French pretension in liquid form tastes like regret, cherries, earth.
Regret. It's swapping out that specialized wine jargon for just raw feeling.
Exactly. It's replacing the expert language with the kind of blunt feeling you might have after dropping $57 on something disappointing. That's the core joke mechanism.
Can the prices push it further?
Oh, absolutely. Look at Napa Valley Screaming Face. Price tag, $297.
Whoa.
And the note is just brutal. Honestly, the most accurate name here. Bitter, harsh truth. So you're left wondering, is that $297 for the wine or for the supposed weight of truth?
And notice it's $297, not around $300. That little detail feels so real, like they know those slightly odd price points are part of the high-end game. It suggests precision, even if it's meaningless.
Exactly. It shows they understand the performance of luxury pricing. And the list skewers other tricks too. Fraud, errors, leveraging famous names.
Like what?
Well, their stasis leak for $203. The description: same wine, worse grammar, bigger scam. Just calls out branding manipulation directly.
Ouch, and the name dropping.
Yeah, they have Petrus Grand Robin, clearly riffing on the legendary Chateau Petrus. But the note says not actual Petrus, just cosplaying. Fraudulent. It mocks that collector culture, buying the name, not the experience.
That's pretty pointed. What about the regions and names themselves?
Oh, they have fun there too. Mocking the snobbery around hard-to-pronounce foreign names or obscure places. Like they deliberately misspell Bordeaux as Bordeaux.
Subtle. Just enough to make you notice if you know, but maybe slide past if you don't.
Right. Or they list a wine from Abertusser with a note clarifying it isn't a place. It highlights how consumers are often expected just to accept geographic or linguistic weirdness as a sign of quality.
And the names themselves.
Some are just nonsense.
Right.
Like Eiffeljet Pot au Corail. The note just gives up. Someone had a stroke naming this. It admits the names are often intimidating by design. Keep the outsiders out.
Okay, let's shift. What about the whites and rosés? Are they targeting something different there?
Yeah, it feels like they're going after the low effort but high markup end of things. The stuff that's maybe simpler but still gets a fancy price.
Give me an example.
For white, there's one called Yellow Face Moscato. It costs $70. But the note is refreshingly blunt. Finally, honest branding. You're buying this for the sugar, not the sophistication.
Huh. It cuts right through any pretense of complexity. Just admits why people actually buy Moscato sometimes.
Exactly. It mocks the need to put a fancy label on everything. Why not just be honest?
And the rosé. That category often gets associated with, well, less serious wine.
And they lean into that hard. They have Boone's Face Strawberry Hill. That's the direct nod to Boone's Farm, right? Super cheap stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But here, it's priced at $51. And the note is just savage. Gas station wine with delusions. Poison the band, strawberry sadness. Using poison the band as a tasting note. Genius.
That's hilarious. Sadness, $51 for sadness.
But the peak might be Face of Robin Blush. It literally says it comes in a jug.
Okay, so clearly bulk, low quality.
You'd think, but it costs $223.
$223 for jug wine.
Yep. The note, it comes in a jug because shame is cheaper in bulk. Immediate headache, pink 40, regret.
Pink 40, regret again. That $223 jug of shame, it's like digital performance art. It really forces you to ask, who sets these crazy luxury prices if an AI can just mimic the markup logic perfectly for a joke?
And that ties back to the creator's big question hanging over the whole thing. Because really, how much is one bottle of wine worth when it's poured straight from the imagination? Here, the value is 100% fabricated. By the image, the text, the whole polished presentation.
Which brings us back to that paradox, the elevation. Even with all the jokes and absurdity, the structure of the list is so professional, and that's crucial, isn't it?
It's absolutely essential. The detailed categories, red, white, sparkling, rosé, orange, other, the made-up bin codes, the specific if fake vintages is like 1925, even a 94.
A 94, they bothered with fake vintage depth.
They did. And the specific prices, like $278, $203, all that detail forces the list into looking completely legitimate. That level of granularity is what fakes high-end authenticity.
So the sheer effort and skill put into executing the joke, it ironically makes the list itself feel kind of high-end, even though it's mocking high-end stuff.
Exactly. It confirms that so much of the perceived prestige of a real wine list comes down to mailing the form, the aesthetics, the language, maybe more than the actual substance in the bottles.
And that's the final knife twist, maybe. Showing that a bunch of AIs, coordinated correctly, can replicate the entire linguistic and structural apparatus of luxury, right down to the pricing psychology.
It suggests the ingredients of prestige might be surprisingly replicable, maybe even superficial, if code can mimic it this well.
So this wine list really did manage to balance art, wit, and, well, indulgence. It's this beautiful digital object created solely to poke fun at its real-world inspirations.
It absolutely did. And maybe that leaves us, and you listening, with a final thought to chew on. This whole complex AI-driven project, seven different systems working together, was needed just to convincingly fabricate a sense of prestige and value for a fake wine list.
Right.
So if faking it so perfectly requires that much sophisticated technology,
yeah.
What does that tell us about the true ingredients of prestige and authenticity in the actual luxury market? Is that super expensive wine list you see in a fancy restaurant fundamentally that different from this incredibly sophisticated AI-generated joke?
What is the difference, really? A lot to think about there. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Always a pleasure.
We'll see you next time.